You're listening to the Faith and Freedom Show, David Allen Carmichael. You heard my daughter Bethany explaining that to you. On the break, we got a call from Mark. Mark's almost staff. He is almost staff. It's kind of like, you know, when you got somebody with the other viewpoint and you want a dialogue. So that's a good thing. And so we can, Mark knows now that we're going to be here a long time, so we don't have to get all our thoughts out in one huge monstrous phrase. We're going to take it nice and slowly. And you know what I mean? We're just going to take this thought by thought and work our way through it. And I think we're going to have a lot of fun. I think everybody benefits from it. And the goal is really to not take the one-liners and just spew them out. Let's really wrestle with these concepts. So before we went on the break, you mentioned privatization. And I've wanted to talk about privatization because I actually want to talk about, and I haven't done my homework on it yet, but what I understand privatization is, and that's why I want to talk about before we talk about the effects of it, the good, bad, or the good, bad, and the ugly, or whatever. I want to talk about what privatization is, and then I'm going to first tell you what I think it is, and then obviously you're going to respond. And let's first get to the point of what is privatization really, and then we'll go to the good, bad, and the ugly if we can do that. Is that okay?
I like your style personally, but I can't speak for the other listeners, but I'm very comfortable right now.
Oh, good deal. I don't have my coffee. So, I mean, that would be, and a donut, you know, that would be better. So, we'll plan ahead. We'll do that. Privatization, as I see privatization, as I understand it, would be, and I'll give you an example that I've experienced. In the good old 10 years ago, the government, when it used up its consumables, whether it be a truck or a boat, or aluminum or something like that, at Defense Reutilization and Marketing Office, which is a government agency, federal agency run by civil servants, they would take and they would catalog all this information, they would inventory it, they would put it out on and open it up for a public auction. That anybody and their brother with no 9-digit number could walk in and make a bid and purchase it, and the only restriction was you actually had to pay for that which you won, or else they would cut you off for 6 months or something like that. But the government ran it. They got a certain amount of money back, but there was a point where they privatized it. They gave it over to a corporation called Government Liquidation, govliquidation.com. I'll give them a little plug there, govliquidation.com. Then what they did is they started making minimum bids, $20, $35, $50, $150 minimum bid. Now, there's some things that are going to get thrown away. If somebody could bid 12 or 20 bucks on it, and the old-fashioned way, they could get the stuff, they could use it, and actually be stimulating the economy and doing all kinds of recycling with this old stuff. What's going to happen is it's going to cost money to destroy, because you're more and more seeing that nobody is bidding on these things. So I see privatization, I'll give you another example, as being where it's a function of government that they're turning over to somebody else outside the true accountability of the federal government. Outside, it's not the military, it's not the civil servants doing it or accountable to law and the function of government. You're turning over legitimate a government function to some contractor, Blackwater, for that instance. I mean, there's things where you're turning over things that ought to be really what the government is supposed to be doing, and relegating it to a quasi-private industry who's not really being held accountable closely, and ultimately they're going to take advantage of everybody and their brother until somebody stops them. I don't see privatization as being private industry or free market private business. I mean, so what's the difference, Mark, between what you see as privatization and what is just really private? And what should really be, what do you think? Tell me what you think privatization is.
Well, I think you've gotten you've hit the nail on the head a couple times, and then you careen around home plate. I think it's important that we all understand what privatization is. It's the now this is Mark's definition, but I think it's fairly accurate. It's what citizens normally take for granted as a dependable, regulated service or business, whether it's a highway or expectations at a hospital or a regulated fuel cost at a gas pump or education, be it private or public, that there's some group of fellow citizens that say, no, you must fall within these parameters for the general welfare, the overall population. I could give you an example, and I think you touched on some. When I first started listening to you talk about it, Dave, you were talking about, you know, something to do with weapons and metals, and my mind immediately jumped to the subject of helium. Apparently, was a regulated business, primarily out of Texas, government-controlled prices and production, and it's now a privatized thing, and it's way more expensive, or I guess like maybe laughing gas at a dentist's office, or there's a million things that are usually regulated that are now for sale. And you touched on one that I find quite interesting, that George Washington, we hear in the last few years a lot about so-called founding fathers. I guess in a white male's mind, we...
Hey, don't diverge. You're bringing in a lot of commas there, baby. Come on, we're going to stick to, and this is just, you know, no offense, but it's important. We're going to take this very carefully, and we're going to have fun doing it. And that way, we'll end up getting to those other things. We're going to be here a while. We're still your neighbor. Until they kick us out of Florida, we're going to be here for a while, Mark.
Hopefully you won't go anywhere, but I think, I won't comment on what I could hear.
Okay, you talked about the government in Texas taking care of helium and nitrous oxide, you know, that kind of thing.
Right. Whatever it is, whether it's miles per hour on a highway sign or the dimension of a sign or... that a doctor must attend a regulated, accredited school, like myself, a former City of Miami policeman. I must have attended an accredited university or community college, which is, in other words, to give you an example of where I believe that we're at, just one quick thing about Blackwater. It's basically the privatization of American military services.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to expound on that. And that's
right.
Who George Washington beat were the German mercenaries hired by the British, by the way. And
right.
The coincidence that now we have our own soldiers that have been not only dispatched overseas working for Blackwater, they were used domestically in New Orleans to confiscate guns, American corporate mercenaries here in our own country, which seems
right.
to be very contradictory to the Constitution.
Now, I'm going to stop you there. I agree with you that that's what I think, and we'll talk about one something you said about what you kind of had a huge list of things that ought to be regulated. Now, that's a whole different issue. That's a different issue. But right now, we can agree that privatization is taking that which is ought to be a government function and basically doling it out and it, you know, doling it out to somebody, a private industry. In other words, you start, don't you understand? I think we agree with that. It's actually a legitimate government function that is being partnered out or given away or relegated, which ultimately supplants the function of government. I think you and I would agree that that is what privatization is. Now, what we'd have to then shift to in our conversation is what ought to be a legitimate function of government. Would you agree with that? I mean, isn't that where our conversation now shifts?
Right. I think that...
Still with me, baby? Cell phone. We've got the cell phone phenomenon, folks. I think, Mark... Okay, Mark, you there with us? Are you on a cell phone?
Yes, I'm on my iPhone. And actually, Dave, this is the thing I look for, common denominators in people all together for peaceful purposes.
Right.
And I think if a woman calls a fire department because her barn's on fire or her kitchen's on fire, and she's delinquent on her gas bill, for example, or late on a water payment, if we continue this trek with privatization, they'll say, well, ma'am, we'd like to send the fire truck out there, but you're actually now, instead of a priority one, you'll be a priority six. Because you were late last month and because they've privatized fire departments. How about if we love our neighbors like we should love them or love ourselves and our families and our neighbors, then it should be all for naught and one for all, and let's have a devotional moment where we are willing to sacrifice our life for the love of the stranger to keep peace and harmony in a society.
Hold on. I'm going to stop you there. Mark, you and I have officially, in front of who knows how many people, we have officially come to an agreement that we could shake hands and have a big happy hug and a smile on our face. And you know what I'm saying? You and I both agree. Privatization, if that is the definition, is in truth wrong. I think it is evil. I do. I agree. It's mammon, not minister of God for our good. When you mention the fire department, it is, I say, true, just like you described, it is legitimately a exercise of legitimate government power. It's not a compelling interest of government. It is legitimate, and that's a lesser strength of government, and there should be reasonable means to accomplish it. It's either that or what you described as what is traditionally the community, the covenant community and commonwealth, ministering to their neighbor's need, and even in some cases forming a volunteer fire department, or getting together and deciding that, and with the city council, whatever the local government structure is, that is taken over by the government with the consent of that community. You know what? So I agree with you that I think the right way to do it is, as you described, with the community taking care of it, or establishing it in a true government police. You know, I mean, according to the law and accountability of the structure of government. I think you and I completely agree on that.
Well, I sure hope we do. And I ask you, as a fellow veteran, is if we try to rewrite history. Now, I understand, and I don't need to explain your principles to the audience for you, because you do.
That'd be dangerous. You might not get it right.
Yeah, the wheels would come off once in a while. But what I'm suggesting to folks, you know, one is by land, two is by sea. I think if Americans realize the word privatization is the opposite of regulation, or it's the opposite of nationalization, and not all things nationalized nor regulated are bad. And so all things that are privatized are not also necessarily evil.
No, however, I think they are. I think they are, because if it's legitimately a function of government.
Right.
If it's legitimately a function of government, it ought not to be privatized.
Right. And one thing that we're not saying to each other, but may already know this, the agenda of privatization is profit. And so if you take the Enron case, what you're witnessing is, and how many Americans don't even realize what's happened in the last 15, 20, or 30 years, is electricity was a heavily regulated business, for example. And Enron and Dynegy and Williams and a number of other companies became what were called traders of electricity. They were actually companies that bought and sold electricity from different power companies or regions of the nation, and could jack up prices arbitrarily and jack down, or whatever the case may be, and say, you know, a squirrel got in a transformer and so the price is now up, or there's a storm in Nigeria, you know, what, any kind of arbitrary thing. And so when an American doesn't have any group of fellow Americans to turn to for protection, whether it's war, some senior citizen that's living on welfare, or not welfare, but Social Security or a pension. That
oh, yeah.
For.
Yeah, you're stuck.
Well, right. And then they have to choose between maybe medicine or cat food, and now they have to wrestle with a big power company that's going to, you know, arbitrarily put up their rates. So we need, what unfortunately a lot of Americans don't understand, and I think that you do, but like, for example, if you did look at the electricity, then they had the Enron attack of the economy of California, that a nation had to turn to what's called the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. Well,
hey, wait, we're going to hold it there, Mark, because we're getting to the end of our show. Are you going to be willing, I don't know about your time schedule, are you willing to come back with a conversation with this very deliberately tomorrow afternoon?
I could. I just got off work from plant, and I'm coming home, and I could call you tomorrow if you care for it.
Yeah, I'd really like that if we could, and I'm going to give you, if you could, if sometime you can email me or something like that, and we can, I'd like to be able to call you sometime, even, it depends on my, let it go on my dime. I guess you call 1-800, you're on my dime. We only have a little bit more time, but what we're going to do is we're going to come back and we're going to talk about the Enron issue, and we're going to talk about, you know, essentially my next question would be, oh, so you want to have a national military, you know, martial law on electricity. And that's kind of an inflammatory statement, but that's, you know, part of the entertainment. But I'd like to come back and talk about that specifically, in a very structured manner. If you'll stick on the phone with me as I close this out, I'd appreciate that. Mark, we'll talk about this. Hey, folks, we're listening to the Faith and Freedom Show. We're talking about things that matter to you, and we want to talk about perspective. And you know what? Rather than we're working against each other, we need to understand each other in many ways and come to balance, not compromise, right? A little right, a little left, in balance, not compromise. We'll see you tomorrow.